Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. District 40, Florida Senate District 40 seat in southern Miami-Dade County was expected to go to former State Representative Republican Jose Felix Diaz. But an upset that made headlines around the country, not just the state, Democrat Annette Tadeo was the victor. Republicans will continue to control the state Senate, though, but they now may need some Democratic votes for certain things. We're joined now by, and I need to be corrected on this, I said earlier, Senate-elect. It's Senator Annette Tadeo from District 40. Thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And again, congratulations on the victory. We were talking about the Keys and what they need in recovery. You just got back from Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that yesterday. How long were you there? Where did you go?
I was only there yesterday to deliver two planefuls of supplies and just went to Ponce, because that a lot of people are going where the cameras are in San Juan, and we wanted to go to another area where no one had been and where they really needed a lot of help. So
everything that you're hearing in the news about Puerto Rico, I mean, is it accurate? Is it as bad as we hear?
It's completely accurate, and I will tell you, the mayor of Ponce reiterated exactly the same things we have heard from the other mayors, including the one in San Juan. And I think, I think it's really important for us to understand that it's not just Puerto Rico, it's obviously
the
other
islands.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But Puerto Rico, specifically Virgin Islands, these are American citizens that need our help. And in Florida, we need to pay specific attention. You spoke earlier about the cruise ship coming with people. We brought some sick people on the plane back since obviously we didn't have all the supplies that we took. So we had room to bring some people. And it was just really emotional to watch. I went through Andrew. This is how I ended up in South Florida instead of working in media after graduating college. But because we've all lived through these experiences, we know how tough it is without electricity, without water, without, just the hospitals that we took medical supplies. The trees were still in the way, the down wires everywhere. It was really just amazing to watch.
What was, and this is one of the questions we were talking about on the program yesterday, is what can Florida do? A lot of this is going to be on the federal government in the recovery effort, but what more can Florida do? And this goes to what you're going to be talking about in the legislature, really the assistance that the state can give.
Well, we need to prepare, because I think that, there's a lot that we can do along with the federal government, with our armed forces to help and for supplies. And, it takes a little while. Unfortunately, it has taken more than one would like for the federal government help to get there. And I will tell you that the governor of Puerto Rico did find out that we were going to be there. So he came to Ponce for the first time, and we actually met with him. Need to get beyond the partisanship and get to helping people. In Florida, we need to prepare, because there will be a huge influx of people coming. We need to prepare our schools for the kids, the growth in kids. And obviously, most of that will be seen in Orlando, but I know that South Florida will see it as well. And we just need, we keep pushing money away from education. And as more kids come, we need to be aware and cognizant, prepare, and not just hope that it doesn't happen, because it's happening. It was already happening before a storm. Now with a storm, it's definitely going to happen.
I'm going to get to the election and how you were able to pull off the victory. But I have to ask you about this as well, because it's in the news. Obviously, the story out of Las Vegas. This happened far away, but it again brings up the conversation about guns. Any legislation that comes up in Tallahassee on this issue a lot of times doesn't even get out of committee. What do you envision is going to happen this year?
You're right that it doesn't even get out of committee, and the things, the influence of the NRA and the pro-gun lobby has been unfortunate, I think, even in Florida. So my hope is that, with what we saw in Orlando at Pulse and now this situation, that we start, you know, looking at other ways for us to, you know, in Florida to talk about guns. There, in this last session alone, there were lots of things that, thank goodness, didn't get through. And obviously, now we're going to have a 16th vote or a vote, you know, that is going to not be with the NRA. There's no question about my position on guns. And, you know, I'm not, I want to be clear. Second Amendment is there, but we need to understand the damage. Why would anyone need these kinds of automatic weapons and so many of them? And there's just a lot there that we need to work on.
All right, let's talk about this past election. And again, I said it's your opponent, Republican Jose Felix Diaz, was favored and had the numbers going in. Right after Irma, there was a conversation about postponing this election, mm-hmm. and the governor said no. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was happening at that point? Were you part of that decision? Did you ask for that?
Yes. I mean, we wanted it because, again, I think whether you win or don't win, you should want to have as many people show up and vote as possible. And it was already a special election, so already it was going to be a low turnout
Lower election. Numbers, yes.
And when you have to worry about ice, electricity, getting, you know, your kids back to school, they weren't in school for a while. I mean, lots of things that were on our minds. Was not, let me just make sure I go out and vote. So for me, it was important that we have the time for people to get back into the mindset, okay, we got to get out and vote. So as a candidate, it's very difficult. But I think, you know, what we did is we made sure to go out to the community to host barbecues at the parks in the areas that didn't have power and make sure that people were fed, you know, and not campaigning, but just being there, sort of like, you know, once you're elected, that kind of things you try to do.
Former Vice President Joe Biden gave you a little bit of aid coming in to help in the campaign. How much did that help?
Well, I think it helped to get out the word that there was still an election going on. And certainly, I think it made a tremendous amount of help. But it also, you know, we knocked on a lot of doors. It was very grassroots. I know people think it was just a hashtag to say people powered campaign. It truly was. This, you know, I got into this race because people in the community in Senate District 40, African-American pastors, leaders asked me to run. That was very unusual and not something that had happened to me before.
So this not to get too wonky on politics, but obviously, you know, this is a seat that Republicans felt very comfortable in. And you know what? Look, with your past, you've been in a number of elections that you didn't win. And so when the Democrats are looking to try to put somebody forward, really, I mean, how much of this was they've got faith in you? And why did you want to run again?
I originally was like, this is the last thing I want to do. But again, it took me back that it was community leaders. The same pastors that actually got together and said, Frank Artiles has to go, were the same people that were calling me. So things like that were unusual and not normal. I think that it's important to listen to the ground, listen to the people who actually live in the district, who lead the community, because they know best who's been there and who knows their community. All different communities are very diverse. I mean, yes, it's majority Hispanic, but also has some very traditional African-American areas that, you know, are very often sort of forgotten. Once you become a majority Hispanic seat, people don't pay attention to other areas of town, and that's really important.
What are your goals when going up to Tallahassee? And I'm also curious, is like, you know, are there committees you want to be a part of? What are some of the things that you're going to really be pressing for in 2018? The session, by the way, starts in January.
Yes. And a week from today, Tuesday, you know, we'll have a ceremonial swearing in and then committees. And I still don't know which committees I'm on. So it's a little difficult to plan. But I did have a conversation with President Negron, very specifically asking for certain things. One of them that hopefully will happen is transportation. Miami-Dade County doesn't have one senator on the Transportation Committee, if you can believe that, which, you know, I think was, you know, my argument and my very cordial and wonderful conversation. And he agreed that Miami-Dade County should have a senator sitting on that very important committee, mainly because we are where we are. We are so bogged down with traffic, and this was a major issue in the campaign.
Don't get me started on traffic. But so when it comes to the committees, though, you know, to help us understand, is that how much say do you have in which ones you want to be in or which ones you're picked for?
Well, I certainly made requests. I've also made requests for education. This was another pivotal issue. Obviously, huge difference between my opponent and myself. I think public schools should be fully funded. I think we should actually, and I am going to propose this, and even if it doesn't go anywhere, it's really important that we freeze the taking of funds from public schools and them going to for charter institution, for profit institutions.
You're talking about the controversial HB 7069
yes.
turned into law.
Which passed by one vote, by the way, in the Senate. So I would have been that one vote that would have stopped it.
Talking about that real quickly then, what do you feel about all these school districts now looking to take this to court?
I agree completely. And I think it's really sad that we're having to go to the courts to fight for things we care about. We had to do it with solar. We've had to do it with the constitutional ways in which these are drawn, the maps. I mean, everything ends up in court. That's too sad. That's why we need to have more voices at the table.
Senator Annette Tadeo from District 40, you know what? We'll have you back before the session starts. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
Your time today.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to hear from WLRN's Peter Hayden again on that story from Port Everglades earlier this morning, right here on Sundial on WLRN.